Behind.
That's it.
Okay, so it feels like there's been so much within such a short amount of time, and I can't possibly draw on all of it. But I'm just thinking back to things that struck me in Panenita's talk on Saturday morning. Well, very much there was that sense of Mogacity, the dark midnight sky, the double vajra, the integration. And what does that integration mean? That whole thing about having that bundle of selves, but also that we have agency. We make choices, we have agency, and our actions, whether skillful or unskilled, do have an effect in the world on ourselves and on others. And that's part of that sort of ethical practice that Mogacity's effective action is ethical action, really, that rather than harming is beneficial to the world and others. But that it comes down to all those choices, all those turning points in our lives. Yeah. And at the time, we might not realize it, but we're sort of setting a direction. And even if we may need to course correct and change over the time, it gives us that direction. And maybe it's helping us on the way to discover, well, what is it that is important to us? What is meaningful to us? What is it that is at the center of our lives, that unifying center or principle, the center of the mandala of our lives? And even if we're not there yet, we're sort of journeying towards it. It's becoming clearer, you know, through our practice, through our lives. And that we do need to bring all of ourselves onto the path. So I'm just going to give a little quote from Sangharakshita along that theme, which seems very much in tune with what we've been doing, because we have been trying to access, you know, through ritual, through mantra and imagery, story, myth, symbol, archetype, not just our conscious thinking mind. So this is Sangharakshita. The effort we put into our spiritual development needs to be directed towards the growth of the whole psyche, not just a part of it. We need to unify our energies, and this means enlisting the cooperation of our unconscious energies by means of myth and symbol, and by the exercise of imagination and devotion. The rational approach will not do it on its own. So I think that's good to remember, isn't it, when we are trying and trying so hard, that sometimes we just need to let go and open to all those other forces and allow ourselves to be inspired by them, or stuff to come up, yeah, and work with that. And that it can be just as important chanting a mantra as studying, or and then what we do in the world, or meditating, they're all part of the path. We need to have all those aspects to work with all the different sides of ourselves, body, speech, and mind, and all the different parts of our mind. Yeah, I was also struck with that question about, well, who is it that makes the choices? Who is it that takes action? Who is it that boldly goes? You know, and that reinventing ourselves, trying out different selves, as part of that process of integration. Because we can have completely different opposite set sides, can't we? And they can have completely different opposite motivations, which is one of the reasons why practice can be difficult, because there's part of us that really wants to do something and part of us that really doesn't want to, you know. And there's part of us that really wants to make progress and part of us that's completely terrified of it, you know. So unless we can actually become aware of those, own them all, and integrate them all, we're just going to be in that constant push-pull that can be quite paralyzing and not act. And the other thing that stops us acting is the fear, you know, all our fears, whether they're conscious or not conscious. So that's some of the stuff. So yes, just being inspired by the Buddha's example that yes, we do have fears, and yes, we may be anxious, and we may anticipate things being scary, But we can still do them, and we can sit with the fear, and we can be with the fear and other difficult, other difficult emotions or situations that basically we sit with it and we bring awareness and we bring kindness to it. Establishing ourselves in that calm, in that positivity, as a foundation for the place where we can start having more insight and awareness and breaking through and letting go. And that release of energy. So it's interesting that when you hear enlightenment talked about, a lot of the time it's talked about in terms of compassion and wisdom being the two sides, but it's also talked about as there being three sides and the third being energy. Maybe I'll quote a bit more of Sangharakshita when he's talking about what's enlightenment, and he's sort of saying that to begin with, enlightenment is spoken of as a state of pure, clear, even radiant awareness. Some schools go so far as to say this state of awareness, in this state, the subject-object duality is no longer experienced. So that's what Amoghya Siddhi is all about, isn't it? There is no out there, no in here. That distinction, that object-subject distinction, as we usually call it, is entirely transcended, and there's only one continuous, pure, clear awareness extending in all directions. It is, moreover, an awareness of things as they really are, not in the sense of objects, but of transcending the duality of subject and object. Hence, this pure, clear awareness is also spoken of as an awareness of reality and a state of knowledge. I'm not going to go into all of that. And then he talks about it also being a state of intense, profound, overflowing love and compassion. Sometimes this love is compared to the love of a mother for her only child, as we get in the Karaniya Metta Sutta, where he talks about just as a mother protects her child, her only child, at the cost of her life, so one should develop a mind of all-embracing love towards all living things. And you notice the Buddha doesn't just talk about human beings, but all living things, all that is sentient. This is how the enlightened mind feels, that love and compassion consists in a heartfelt desire, a deep burning desire for their well-being and happiness. A desire they should be set free from suffering, they should grow and develop. That too is part of enlightenment. And thirdly, enlightenment consists in a state or experience of inexhaustible mental and spiritual energy. Energy is characteristic of the state of enlightenment. The state of enlightenment is one of tremendous energy, of absolute spontaneity, continually bubbling forth, a state of uninterrupted creativity. The state of enlightenment is a state of perfect, unconditioned freedom from all subjective limitations. So when Buddhism speaks of enlightenment, it means a state of supreme knowledge, love, compassion, and energy. So I thought it'd just be interesting bringing that bit in there. And I suppose finally, the other thing that we were looking at quite a lot was about, well, developing that confidence, that fearlessness, which doesn't mean not having fear. It means having the courage to be with that fear, having the courage to face difficulties or to go places, unknown places, to boldly seek out those unknown places, whether they're external, going to new places, new thoughts, new things, but also very much about turning within and the courage to sort of allow ourselves to see what's there and be with what's there and transform what's there. And if we can do that, then we do get to that place of integration. We do get to free that energy. And then we have that ability to direct that energy towards the good, that virya, that momentum towards spiritual qualities, dharmic qualities, and our ideals. Okay. So pause for a minute. And then we're going to have a very simple ending ritual. So going to have another reading of one of the Omega City invocations, chant his mantra, and then we'll just sort of pause for a little bit, and then I'll do a reading, and then we'll end with the transference of merits. So if you just want to get yourselves comfortable while I look for what I need. Okay, can't find the one I want, so we'll do the one from today. Yesterday. At the witching hour of midnight, from the northern quarter, from the realm of perfect action, comes the unstoppable wisdom being, magical Omega City. Deep green, like the night forest, shining like emerald, he comes carried across the winds by the Shangshangs with rainbow wings, the angelic bird beings with triumphant symbols. Upon a jewel-decked throne he sits, holding the golden fish for Vajra, uniting all opposites in his hand, holding the access of manifestation in his hand, and offering perfect fearlessness to all sentient beings. His wisdom performs all skillful means, and ever engaged in creative activity, he transforms the power of the angry demons into compassion's playful dance. O Omega City, with your pacifying medicine, please heal the poisonous sickness of envy. Please bless us with your soothing green light, that we may find contentment and live free from fear. So now we're going to do the Omega City mantra in call and response. Om Omega City Ahum.
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 Om Amoghasiriya Hum. 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 Om Amoghasiriya Hum.
Without a center, without an edge, the luminous expanse of awareness that encompasses all. This vivid, bright vastness, natural, primordial presence. Without an inside, without an outside, awareness arisen of itself as wide as the sky. Beyond size, beyond direction, beyond limits, this utter, complete openness, space inseparable from awareness. Within that birthless, wide open expanse of space, phenomena appear like rainbows, wholly transparent, pure and impure realms. Buddhas and sentient beings are seen, brilliant and distinct. As far as the sky pervades, so does awareness. As far as awareness extends, so does absolute space. Sky, awareness, absolute space. Indistinguishably intermixed, immense. Infinitely vast, the ground of samsara, the ground of nirvana. To remain day and night in this state, to enter this state easily, this is joy. Emaho. Thank you. Her entrance of merit and self-surrender. May the merit gained.
May the merit gained.
In my acting thus.
In my acting thus.
Go to the alleviation of the suffering of all beings.
Go to the alleviation of the suffering of all beings.
My personality throughout my existences.
My personality throughout my existences.
My possessions.
My possessions.
And my merit in all three ways.
And my merit in all three ways.
I give up without regard to myself.
I give up without regard to myself.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
Just as the earth and other elements.
Just as the earth and other elements.
Are serviceable in many ways.
Are serviceable in many ways.
To the infinite number of beings.
To the infinite number of beings.
Inhabiting limitless space.
Inhabiting limitless space.
So may I become.
So may I become.
That which maintains all beings.
That which maintains all beings.
Situated throughout space.
Situated throughout space.
So long as all have not attained.
So long as all have not attained.
To peace.
To peace.
So that was our final ritual on this retreat, and endings are important, and I also think it's really important to end things ritually, but we also need to sort of take care on a more mundane level. I know it's only been, well, just over a couple of days really, but a lot has happened and a lot may have been stirred up. And you may be more open, a little bit more vulnerable. So just being aware of that, taking care of yourself in the next few days. And if you need to give yourself some time apart, some quiet time, or if you need to just ask people around you to sort of give you that space, then do that. And again, like the transition, how you come out of the retreat back into your daily life is important, yeah. And we don't have the advantage of a long journey as a sort of transition. Literally, from one moment to another, you just click on leave, and then you're back in the world. So just while making those choices, you have choices with what you do immediately after you click that button, and how you spend this evening and how you spend the next few days, and have some self-meta, yeah, and look after yourself, nurture yourself. Most of the people you're around probably have not been on retreat, so there may be a little bit of difference in the energy, so just be aware of that as well. So now I think I'm going to pass you over to Benita.